Welcome to the podcast, Entrepreneur Perspectives, building and protecting your business one podcast at a time, a Kezsource family production. This podcast exists in large part because of KezCM, the content marketing business inside Kezsource Inc. So what does KezCM do? You know how many business leaders need help communicating their story? Well, that's what we do. Content creation and distribution for business leaders. This provides opportunities, relationships, and a platform for you and your business. Why do we do this? Because at KezCM, we exist to help business leaders build a meaningful legacy that is worth living and leaving. Learn more by visiting KezCM.com. In this episode, we discuss getting a job the non-traditional way, creating amazing content, and art. Our guest today is Katie Szabo, a content marketer at KezCM. Katie came to Kezsource in a non-traditional way. With her creativity, enthusiasm, and great work ethic, along with her ability to read and listen to us via blog, social media, and podcasts, Katie knew she was a fit before she ever started. With an eye for design and a mind for business, we hope you enjoy this episode with Katie Szabo. Katie, you started here about 2.5 months ago from when we're chatting, and the way you got your position here, though, I think is unique. John and I were talking just a little while ago about, we had someone recently walk into the office, not, you know, cold called us, really, ended up in my office, talked to Shane, ended up in my office, and has already emailed us because he wants an internship this summer. Soccer player at college, and, you know, really wants to learn business, wants to learn a lot of different things. So we've talked about this with John before. John came in as an intern, but he met me on Twitter. And so we had engagement. We talked about sports. One thing led to another. Next thing you know, John's working here full time after being in school. You came in from a different approach, which I think was unique. And then you guys, and I know that story, obviously, but from your perspective, how did you get this position?
Yeah, it was a non-traditional approach to finding a job. So I didn't apply, but I was on LinkedIn and I came across your profile. I looked into all the content that you had, that Kezsource had, KezCM had, and I was really impressed. I think a lot of people are with, you know, podcasts and the blogs and Sportspreneur. And so for me, I just got really intrigued by the content that you guys had. So from there, I just messaged you and from there I offered. I asked if you guys wanted any, you know, marketing help, if you guys need help with graphics or social media. And then from there we got on a phone call and, you know.
You just sent a message. I mean, it's no different than someone walking in here. You walked into my LinkedIn message. And we didn't have a job posted anywhere. And that's, you know, ever since John and some other people that I've talked to or brought people in, I started realizing I wanted the person that's going to go about it a unique way. And it's not that unique anymore, I guess, on LinkedIn and Twitter to message people. But I feel like so many people are still going about it the old-fashioned way. Now, no doubt that's because a lot of the companies expect you to do it that way. But in the non-traditional sense, you're looking for something unique. And I think we kind of realized that you knew that, and I could see that you didn't want the old what everyone's telling you to do. You wanted something different. You wanted to end up at a company that you felt good about being at, that had an amazing story and amazing content, because you felt like you contribute that, right?
Absolutely. And I think, so when you produce amazing content, it speaks for itself. So I think opportunities will come to you better. Mm-hmm. And that's basically what I saw that there was amazing content, and I just wanted to learn more about it and to see the work that you guys were producing and if you guys needed any help with that.
When you put yourself out there, it's interesting, because I remember talking to you for the first time is I saw the message on there, and then we had a little bit of back and forth, and then I think there was just a lot going on. I believe it was a Friday, it was raining outside. Yeah. Like, I just kind of remember this because I was then went on my back porch and I said, I really don't have time to do like more back and forth, let me just call her up. And you answered the phone and we had a good conversation, and then we said, well, let's meet, you know, let's go to that step. And you came into the office the following week, and then we continued to communicate from there. But it was like just the, I don't know, it was just in a moment in time. You walk in, it's no different than the individual that walks into the office. He could have walked in on a dead day, he could have walked in a day where something's not going well, and it's like, ooh, I don't know about this place. But he didn't have that. he walked in at perfect timing. It was on, I think it was a Friday afternoon. We were kind of cutting up a little bit, and he's emailed John and myself since then, and he's just like, no, I want to intern there this summer. That's the place I want to be. You message us, and next thing you know, we're on a phone call. It can happen where you can get on the phone with the business leader, whether you're looking for a job or you're looking to talk to a business owner, a decision maker about something that you want to offer. I guess one of the questions I would have is the individual that walked in here, John that goes on Twitter, you that comes through on LinkedIn, why aren't others doing it this way? Because it's not like we are getting hit up by a lot of people, but a lot of people are just trying to sell a product, sell a service. Why aren't other people doing this like you did it?
Yeah, I think one is it's intimidating to just put yourself out there. You don't feel like anything can happen from that conversation. If you're going to reach out to someone who's in a really high position within a company, it's, you know, what are the odds that they're going to make time for you? Honestly, I reached out and I didn't expect to hear something so quickly or to hear back from you just because, you know, you being a CEO. But it takes a certain type of person to either be brave to reach out like that or someone to be spontaneous and to believe that this person is worth talking to.
Right.
So on both ends, I think it it requires some sort of, you know, next level understanding that bigger things can happen from a conversation online.
And you're okay. So if I were to come back and like, hey, we're not interested, or I don't ever reply to you, which is very often the case,
yeah.
Right? Like, okay, great, that message went, and like, nah, I'm not interested, and then it goes away. That's okay, because you do it enough times and maybe eventually you'll get that spontaneous moment where like, ooh, this thing did work out. I think it works on the flip side too, because I've seen it where you can seem you can seem overzealous. Like, ooh, there's someone interested in working for our company, I'm going to respond immediately. And then the other person's like, oh, whoa, hold on a second. Like, it's not supposed to be that fast. It's supposed to be more of a process. That means you guys must not be good if you respond too quickly. And I've seen, not necessarily seen the reaction, but I've kind of felt that might be the case because they were looking for something so different. But I think it's like that unique twist to say, no, we can hop on the phone now. We don't have to wait 6 weeks to say you can get on my calendar. Yeah, it's a busy calendar and there's a lot of things going on, but let's have conversations. I mean, that's so much of what we talk about is we want to have engaging conversations with quality people, with good intentions. Let's get on the phone. Let's get into a meeting. Let's take that to the next step. What are we going to sit around and why not talk about it?
Exactly, and I think that reveals how this company is run. You know, we focus on stories and we focus on creating content and learning about, you know, other people's perspectives. And so when you come, you know, with that perspective, when you have that understanding that you're interested in other people and what they have to say, you're at an advantage because you're just going to be listening to people. You're going to be more open to having these sort of discussions, you know, regardless if there is something out of it, you're going to be more open to doing it.
Yeah, so, okay, so you come here, you're excited to be here, you're obviously probably, I don't know, you could, like, were you nervous? So you come on board, there's people, you had a chance to meet everybody before you started,
yeah.
So you met people when you were the first time, you came back before you started, knew you were starting, you had another chance to, like, kind of get acclimated, knew you're going to kind of be, then you start the first day and you get into it, and it's up and down, I get it, and it continues to be up and down, it's like anything else. Were you nervous at the beginning? Was it just, this is for anybody? Like you started new positions, you started schools, you've done different things for the first time. Were you nervous when you started?
When I started, I was so excited. I'm still excited now. But when I started, I think this team is really welcoming and there's a lot of great energy that each person in the office has. And so that was really easy for me to get acclimated and to just get involved. So everyone has so many interesting things to say, and a lot of it in the beginning was just absorbing all the different perspectives that everyone has. Everyone has different angles, everyone has different positions within the company. So for me, I was really excited, and
Did you know that it was going to be something that you're excited, and it's one thing you can build up your excitement, and then you'd be like, oh man, it's just not what I thought it was going to be. And that happens, right? And that's life. And that's certainly when people start jobs, you're like, no, this is not what I expected. So you have this expectation and you kind of like, did you know like, oh no, this is the spot for me? Or was there a moment in time, like a week or 4 weeks in or whatever that was, that you're like, this is the spot I want to be?
there was absolutely a time when I realized this is exactly where I want to be, and it was just the amount of variety that every single day that we get to do. And so for me, the more that I was learning about all of the roles within content creation and all of the resources that we have at CasSource, the more I got excited that this is a place where I can see that my current skills, you know, I work well in, but then also I've got places where I can really evolve and grow within, which is important for me within a company. So
it was just having that access to doing different things. So that was pretty early on then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very early on.
Marketing, creation, you know, being a creative mind and, you know, being in all that. Did you always have the sense that you had to be in some level of marketing? That's what you've been, I mean, you studied in school, but.
Absolutely. I've known it probably since I was in high school. Just the idea that positioning and narratives, they're so powerful. So they transform, they create everything around us. And so being in a position where you can sharpen those skills, I know that that's where I belong. That's the skills that I want to develop. So for me, it's kind of a no-brainer being within a marketing company.
Do you feel like, and I say this a lot, so I think when you can be creative, and we were talking about this, I think, yesterday or the day before, when you can be creative, it opens your mind up to doing so many different things. And I got to see it at a young age with my mom and my grandmother to say, you can take this blank piece of canvas and you can turn it into something. And it's, I liken it to being a songwriter. It's this blank piece of paper, and then you can write a song and turn it into something. And it's like, wow, that's pretty awesome. So I felt like that is, in a way, that's entrepreneurship. So you can create a business from nothing. You name it. You put a color to it. You put a sound to it. You put yourself to it. You put your voice, your message, all these different things. And it's just like, it's a lot of fun. And then you get to do it for other businesses. And that's why we love doing it here. Have you always felt like, if I can get outside, if I can do this, if I can take a picture, if I could draw a picture, whatever that might be, that it opens you up to just better business, better things?
Absolutely. I think there's so many mental aspects when it comes to creativity. I mean, it's a humbling experience, but also it's really open to, in the beginning, making mistakes. When you, let's say, my background is in graphic design and visual arts. So if I'm making a piece, and let's just say I go down a different path and I kind of, let's say, mess up a watercolor. It's actually not messing up. It's just opening up the avenues for different ways to do something. So for me, I've always been open to the idea of, creativity and failure, creativity and mistakes, they open up avenues. And so that's what I've noticed in any work that I do. I try to be open within the creative process to just allow new avenues, allow new
right.
ways of doing things.
Yeah, we talk about my mom for a second, but when she's taught at schools, and so kids would get frustrated with art, and one of the things she always says is, there are no mistakes in art. You allow the mistakes to happen, and the mistake might become the greatest piece of that art, the greatest component, whatever that might be. So I think that now in business, there are no mistakes still in art, but there can be mistakes in business. And so that there's like that. There's this fine line of, like, there's ethics, and then there's saying the wrong thing, and so you can lead into that. Have you seen that play out a little bit?
There's such a fine line.
Yeah, yeah.
There's such a fine line. I mean, when it comes to promotion, PR, branding, tone,
right,
verbiage,
everything. So just be careful. I mean,
just being careful. But I think having those open dialogues with clients initially, where you really establish what is, how do you want to be represented? What do you want to look like visually? What do you want to sound like? All of that. Establishing that up front. And I think in the beginning, that's when you can be creative and go down different avenues. And perhaps, if something doesn't work out, that's an opportunity to grow. But definitely after you establish, this is the concrete way of doing this brand.
What's the vision? What expectations do we have? You know, what's off limits?
Right.
You know, and we had a client early on at CASCM, and they had left a marketing company in the past, and one of the biggest issues they had some political tweet that went out that they wanted nothing to do with it. They don't know how it got out, and they received a lot of bad feedback as a result of that. So it had burned him from working with marketing companies because something like that played out. And like it was probably never discussed, but it never should have happened. Again, it wasn't us, it was another marketing company. This is a few years ago, but like you kind of can see how it can damage reputation. We talk of branding and all this stuff. It just like that.
Your reputation easily can be shaken. I mean, especially with social media, people can constantly in a second just tear apart. Something can become viral in a second. So it's important to have a really considerate person that's taking care of brand image. But then also you think about scenarios where, you know, taking a certain position on an obstacle or a setback. Let's just say a brand decides to reinvent themselves or to take this really bad PR stunt or this really bad event that happens to them, and then that's how they show their true colors. They show, you know, where their brand stands. I think it is on both sides. It's just being considerate of how, you know, your brand is perceived.
Yeah, and well, you start to get into polarizing topics and, you know, how brands relate. And one of the things that becomes very polarizing today, and you've seen it just being in our office environment, is there's a love of sports here. There's like a fanhood. We got John, who's like this Jets and Mets crazy fan and all that. And you're not a sports fan. And that was okay, right? You can be here. Scott, who's in the office, I mean, Scott's got all sorts of interests and they're fascinating interests. And he'll often cooks for us, which we all enjoy. But he's like, he could care less about sports, but he works on the Sportsypreneur website. He works on the technology around it. So it's very important. And he understands the importance it is to us. But it's not so much as far as like, yeah, winning and losing and all that. But it's this deep rootedness. And we talk about family. We talk about art. We talk about all these different things. What is it like coming, though, into a culture that's got, and it's not everybody, so it's not like you have 10 people and you're the only outcast that doesn't like sports. That's not the way it is.
Right.
What's it like being in an environment where there's, you know, there's a lot of people talking about sports often and kind of getting into the culture of that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think diehard sports fans, sometimes it can be quite polarizing, but it's not here because I think that the aspect of Sportsypreneur, combining sports and business, I understand, you know, business analogies. So for me, I'm not going and understanding kind of the sports plays of what's happening, but I'm understanding the business behind it, the business, the lessons that we can learn. So I'm kind of coming at Sportsypreneur from a different angle. I'm learning actually about sports through the business analogies and through business acumen. But for me, I'm at least growing and learning, and it's not an environment that I'm used to, but I don't find it a setback for me.
That's funny too, because I mentioned Scott, our editor Caroline, is the same thing. She doesn't know the first thing about sports. She's learned about sports as a result of editing our content, and so she's had a lot of enjoyment in that regard. So
yeah,
I think that makes a lot.
I think it's funny too, because sometimes I think like I'll send it to one of our coworkers, John, I'll send it an analogy to him or some sort of concept like, does this make sense? And he'd be like, absolutely not.
Yeah.
So, for me, it's funny just to learn.
That's
like,
great.
Okay, this is not right, or maybe this is right, you know.
That's fun, though. Yeah. Well, we were even talking, and I was showing you a picture because we have this thing that we're doing with contributors on Sportsypreneur. And what I noticed was we can reach out to people that were at an event or at a game or at a stadium and say, hey, let us share that content out there. Would you be interested? And they're like, oh, yeah, for sure. And we found someone who's in Colorado. It was in Denver, Colorado, in Coors Field, one of the best Major League Baseball parks out there. And I showed it to you, and you're like, oh, wait, that's Denver. So you knew exactly what I was talking about.
Right.
You could care less who the players are or who won the game or any of that, but you're like, oh, yeah, no, that's a beautiful view. And we had the skyline, the mountains are in the backdrop. So, like, right there, you can connect at a level. That's what I'm talking about. It's different, right?
Absolutely. It's baby steps, but I feel like working here, it's not an environment where I feel like I'm at a loss because I don't know sports. I think that we create enough content, and for a wide variety of industries and for industries with all of our clients. So not having that sports component isn't kind of as much of a setback.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's awesome. I mean, that's what we wanted to talk about, and I appreciate you spending some time with us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Katie, it has been absolutely awesome having you on this podcast. From your thoughts on creativity to your ideas on making mistakes and learning in business, we are all better off from the time we spent with you. The perspectives from Katie on getting a job the non-traditional way and stepping out of your comfort zone are now perspectives you, the business leader, can use for yourself. And for that, Katie, thank you. And for anyone looking to talk to Katie about her role within CASCM or All Things Art, we encourage you to reach out to her. If you have questions, feel free to reach out to me directly. You can find me on LinkedIn or contact me on Twitter at Eric_Kaz. Thank you for listening to our CAS Source podcast, Entrepreneur Perspectives, building and protecting your business one podcast at a time. Until next time, we're out of here. This podcast exists in large part because of CASCM, the content marketing business inside CASSource Inc. CASCM is excited to bring the content marketing services used at CASSource to you. Learn more by visiting CASCM.com.